Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. This is Mama Seven, and it is Wednesday, family. I am so glad to be here. I'm glad to be here, glad to be on this day, glad to have survived the day, because it was a little testy here and there. But we made it, family. We made it. We're on this side. That means, what does it mean to have made it? Okay, that means you got your shrine work done, right? It means shrine work, got your glasses done, have done your journaling. For those out there like me that are fasting, we've been in our whites all day, staying in that prayerful state of mind. This 2020 has been challenging. Yeah, it has been really, really day-to-day challenging. There are some people struggling. So if you have had a rough day, like many other of us have had, you're in good company, all right? What do we do when we have good, hard days? Depends. I pray a lot. I always go to my prayers and make sure God got my back. You hear me, God? You with me? You know, I'll reach out with my ancestors to my special guides and be like, okay, this is the trouble I see. Lord knows is waiting around the bush. So I just have to say, stay encouraged in the middle of this, because it's hairy. It's getting worse. You know, and I don't think it's half done. We still have a lot more to do. I think we're going to have to get a boot camp together to try to get out of 2020. It's going to be that serious. And I only hope that we're not rushing from the frying pan into the fire. So, you know, it's just been one of those days. And I'm so glad I get to end it with my family. I'm so glad I get to end it with those of like mind, trying to be positive, trying to be helpful and encouraging to each other. You know, this is the way it's supposed to be. We come and we have to connect and reconnect and continue to connect so that we're remembering what's important, because this world will get you distracted. You start to think Facebook's important. You start to think likes is important. You know, you start to really begin to be part of this matrix that they've created. And so, you know, it's so important to connect with people that are God-centered, people that are not afraid to be different in their spiritual walk, to be disciplined, to be dedicated, to be all those things that you really have to be if we're going to make it through this, okay? You know, we don't want to just crawl through the finish line. We want to make sure that we're finishing and getting all of our work done. We've completed all of our spiritual assignments and everything else like that. So last week we were speaking about faith over fear, and we had one of our young ones come on, Sister Siobhan, and I always love speaking with her because she's very blunt. She'll tell you exactly how it is, you know. And speaking about faith and speaking about fear, both of those can be daunting, but that fear, it can be paralyzing. You know, fear of failure. Some people have fear of success, which is, abandonment. There's all kinds of fears that keep us hiding, that keep us still, that keep us running around ragged. Some of us don't want to keep still. We got to keep working, keep moving, because if I sit too long, then I got to think about what I'm doing, or I have to be accountable for what I'm doing. So that fear was real. I remember, I think our baby elephant was talking about being addicted to fear. And when she said that, I remember the look on my face. You know, I don't have a mirror here, but I remember the look on my face was like, how can you be addicted to something that is not good for you? And then I had to remember, that's what addiction is. That's what it is to be addicted, out of control, all of those things. And to be addicted to something like fear, addicted to chaos, you know, just searching and longing for that negative energy. You look for it, you're going to find it, but you don't want that. So we really, really had one of those deep, honest conversations, you know. And that's one thing I love about A Wonderful Approach is that, you know, we are family here. We have seen each other grow. We've seen each other stumble. I promise you it's okay. But when you're part of that family, we get to encourage each other. We get tied into each other's blessing. We start to, you know, care genuinely, sincerely, deep in your gut, care about somebody. And so we had to talk about, I can't sit here and care about you while I let fear paralyze you. I will dropkick that fear. But it's not my fear to have. You know, I don't smoke cigarettes. It's not my bad habit to kick. So we have to really think about what that fear does and what it stops us from doing. And also understand faith is just not enough. You have to have action on that faith, okay? So to know is not enough. You have to know and move as if you know. You have to acknowledge your actions, acknowledge the knowing. So if I know that I have to fast, in my brain, I know it. It's Friday. It's Wednesday. Got to fast. But until I turn down the food, that's the action. Until I have the time when the sun goes down and when this meal is prepared, that's the action, okay? Just to know I'm supposed to be fasting is not enough. It's not enough. And so because A Wonderful Approach, we don't play that. I'm not going to let you play in a kiddie pool. We're not going to play on a shallow end. You know, you got to learn how to swim. So we have to get all the way in and add that action to our faith. So it was a great show. It was a great show. If you want to check it out, you can go to the Facebook page, A Wonderful Approach Facebook page. All of the shows are there. And if you check out one, check out another one. And we have a couple of different co-hosts that come on. And so that always makes it interesting. And then we have our regulars that come on, which always makes it interesting. And I'm so thankful for them because that's two words I didn't have to say, you know. And then also, A Wonderful Approach is so wonderful because it is it's a collective. You know, we're not one person. It's not a whole bunch of yes men and women out here. There's different. Everyone has like that little thing that they bring to the conversation, and I love it. I love it. It benefits the masses. So you know, if you want to check it out, you can go to the Facebook page or you can go to www.awonderfulapproach.com, the website, and check out all the good stuff that's there. So I like that. As I had said earlier this month, we are expanding. I love it. I'm so excited. So we have Deja's Cafe, a wonderful sister named Khadija. I mean, I just love that name. It just tickles me. But a lovely sister named Khadija is going to be doing a Deja Cafe. She at 7 o'clock tomorrow, and I hope we can all, you know, take a second, shout her out, you know, give her a nice send off. You know, she's excited about it. I'm a little nervous about it, but you know, we're gonna show her that love. But she's gonna be speaking about networking. She's been on the program with us before, speaking about business and entrepreneurs and turning your passion, your dream into a reality, and also talking about spiritual businesses and the spiritual energy behind promoting yourself and the confidence in that and everything like that. So we've spoken on the air before, but she is taking those steps, and we're going to support her in it. So I'm so excited to hear about the expansion, and there's more to come. Secret. I'm not going to tell you yet, but it's coming. So check that out tomorrow at 7. We're only going to get to see her once a month for right now, but I'm looking forward to it. Really, I am. So today is going to be a little different. Today, we're going to have I Always Wanted to Know. And I've done this before. I think I did this when Mom Khadija was with us. But what I always wanted to know, This is an opportunity to ask that question. Whatever question you wanted to ask, you know, don't ask me about no numbers. Don't ask me about world peace. Don't ask me about, okay, you get the picture. But from a spiritual standpoint, this is the time to ask that question. You know, what I always wanted to know. And we're going to answer to the, our best of our ability. And, you know, I wouldn't call myself a guru, but I have a pretty good foundation. I feel very confident about this. And what I don't know, I promise you there's an angel that does. So this is why I always have to big up my callers, because they keep it real. And I know whenever I need some help, I need some research, I need to find out what these planets are doing, why they're spinning backwards and all this other stuff, I got people that I call and say, hey, what is this answer? So I'm really excited about it. But today is about asking questions. And I have a couple of questions that I do a lot of readings. And there are questions that come up almost every reading. And so, I mean, across the board, male, female, young, and old. And so I wanted to take a time to kind of highlight some of those questions as well, so that we can get more understanding. Because I promise you, if one person asked, there's probably 100 people that wanted to know that were just afraid to ask. So don't hesitate. You know these shows fly by. So if you have a question, if you there's one thing you wanted to know, or if there is that one thing that you learned that made a big difference in your development, share that as well, you know. So this is one of those types of shows that I really want people to be able to say, okay, I got what I wanted, not just what she was putting out, but I got my question answered. So all you have to do is press 1, and now let me know, hey, I'd like to shout out, I'd like to say this, I'd like to say that. Just whatever you're going through, this is going to be an opportunity for us to share in the middle of that, okay? So you press 1, that lets me know you'd like to speak, and we can go ahead and get some of these questions answered. So while we're waiting for people to collect their thoughts, you know, one question that I get regularly, and I get it almost out of the blue, is what is a reading, okay? And there are some people that have had readings and don't really know what a reading is. So a reading is when someone, a spiritualist, a medium, a prophetess, a priest, whatever title you want to use, consults with a source of information. Some people call it source. I know when I do my readings, they are very ancestral based. They're also based off of what energies are surrounding this person. So there are times when people's spirit guides are speaking loudly. That's what I'm speaking to. There are times where people's ancestors are speaking loudly. So that's what I'm listening to. There are times when people's own spirit, their self, you know, their energy, their essence is hollering, and so that's who I'm speaking to. So that's what a reading is. It is to get you information. The goal is to find out where you are as opposed to where you need to be. Okay? What kind of readings are there? 1,000 types. There's ancestral, there's aura readings, there's past life readings, there's roots readings. Okay, past life readings, of course, as the title indicates, looks into who you've been before. Why is that information helpful? It's helpful to know if your spirit has reincarnated a number of times. You could be at the last of your cycles, or you could be at the first of your cycle. It's helpful to know if you've been a woman or a man consistently. Past life is helpful to know possibly if you were another race or nationality. You know, it's helpful to know those things. I think it is. I think it's not just interesting, like history buff. I don't think it's just interesting. I think it's helpful and knowledgeable, because if you have reincarnated 10 times as a man and this is your first time as a woman, you're going to feel real awkward in that body, okay? If you have reincarnated, if you have been royalty time after time after again, and then you reincarnate as a servant, you're going to have a difficult time being that servant or even turn that around. If you've been a servant many, many times, but turn around and now you are royalty, you may even be uncomfortable with the royalty that you have now acquired. So it is very interesting to know those things. Let me see. There's tea leaf readings. And I, from what I understand, tea leaf readings are really a general reading from a lifespan. It's not just looking at, you know, 6 months or just looking at a year. You know, I believe the tea leaf readings are over a lifetime. There are tarot cards. You know, tarot cards are, they're interesting. So tarot cards are they have pictures. They have pictures and they have numbers. And the pictures and numbers tell a story. And the story relates to where the person is in their life, or it relates to the question that's being asked. And so, and there are, there's probably 100 different types of cards / tarot cards that people utilize in order to get information. So that's what readings are. That's just a few of the types. You know, there is some people read with Odus. Some people read with De La Don. There's all different kinds of systems. But they're all done for the purpose of gathering information. Information about the person, information about a situation, information about the family, how information to find out the best way to handle situation A or situation B. It's about gathering information, okay? How often should a person get a reading? Okay, so no matter who you are, if you got a heartbeat, you need to have a reading, I would say, at least once a year. At least. Now, if you have some things going on, hot and heavy, or trying to get through a situation, that can be increased up to even once a month. But, you know, it all depends on what your needs are, not just kind of, I want to know. You know, we have to be responsible with the information. And so you want to make sure that you're not gathering a whole bunch of information that you have no intentions on doing anything with. You know, I tell people all the time, please, 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 it's so important that you respect the information that comes forward in readings. So don't get a reading and not follow instructions. What was the purpose? So we have to make sure that we're paying attention to that, okay? So that was just like 2 seconds on a reading and what it is. Something else I hear, unfortunately too frequently, is I feel like I've been blocked. Could someone have put juju on me? You know, I remember back in the day, there was a commercial for a reader or a reading system, and her name was Miss Cleo. And at the commercial, she's like, I think they put Ruth on me. And every time I heard that lady say that, it made me bust out in laughter. I was like, that is, I mean, it was just her crazy way of saying it, but I get it, you know. So what is juju or what is roots? Juju is, it's the intention of manipulating a situation, the way so to a person's favor, okay? It's a way of manipulating things. So is all juju bad? No, I don't think so. you know, manipulate me some a big old house. You know, I'd like it to be white, and I like columns. But, you know, so I'm going to put that juju out there. Okay, slow down now. Before you put that juju out there, you have to find out, are you hurting someone else? Are you creating negative energy? Are you entering into a contract that you're going to have to pay out to a being later on? Good, bad, or indifferent. And then that's going to tell you what if that's juju and then what kind. Now, before everybody runs out and tries to find Mr. Right, Mr. Magical, let me tell you about the responsibilities that come with juju and some of the kickbacks that come with this, okay? Number one, sometimes the price is a little high, meaning what they ask for, you know, oh, I need this perfect man, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay. And they may tell you, all right, the price is $2,000. But they didn't say $2,000 in 6 years of your life. They didn't say that, you know. They left that last part out. You might have paid the $2,000 if you, you know, whatever. But that 6 years of your life may not have been worth it. You know, always feeling like you had to look over your shoulder, never knowing if some heartache was going to come to you, it's not worth it. You know, I strongly suggest that we all pay attention to our own selves. You can only control yourself. So pay attention to who we are and what we're doing and not bother other people with juju. But that's what juju is, okay? Roots is the same thing, trying to make someone do something. They're going to try to force you to, you know, pay all this money or be in relationships you don't want to, or just manipulate things. God has given each and every person free will. We don't have the right to interrupt someone else's free will. So we have to be real careful about this, okay? Real careful, you know. Even, let's stay with the relationship thing for a second. Even if you wanted this person and you were going to do right by him, you know, hey, I'm not going to cheat on you. I'm not going to beat on you. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm going to do right on you. That person still has the right to be with you or not. So we can't go and try to force somebody to be with someone and they don't want to. So you have to be cautious about that. Trust me, you would not want someone trying to manipulate you. And the thing that helps me keep real good balance with that is I have two beautiful sons. And I don't want somebody trying to manipulate them, trying to get what they are looking for out of my poor children. So, you know, it's so important that we be responsible and that we don't do the juju, okay? And let's say, oh, I wasn't sure it was juju. You can read it, okay? you can read what the instructions say, okay? So the instructions are get a picture, say these words three times, and you kind of get an idea as to what is going on, okay? So we're not going to play naive to the point where we're not being honest, okay? So let's be very aware about this blockage and this juju stuff, okay? Now, what happens if people really do get blocked? It happens. We can block our own selves. Not doing what spirit says, being lazy, being hard-headed, just being our usual human self. These are human mistakes. It's okay. We have to get out of it. We have to stop. But this is what we do. There are ways to get out of a blockage. You can go through a series cleansing. You know, we do a big one at the water every year. And so, you know, get in there and make that thing happen. And so we have that possibility. if you have a blockage, sometimes we have to go back and realize and see, did you step in something? You know, did you bring something to yourself? Did you ask for something that maybe you shouldn't have? So the best way to find out if you have a blockage, if you've been blocked, is we go back to the original, get a reading. Okay. What are some of the protections against a block? Someone trying to be negative with you. Prayer, the first, and the second and third, you know, it keeps going. Prayer. Prayer is the strongest tool we have. And you don't have to pray about blocks. You can just pray about living your good, your best life. You can pray about needing some help and some guidance. Because Lord knows I make that prayer quite often. There's all kinds of ways that we can impress upon the universe that we need some help, you know, and then the universe helps us the way that we need the help. Not always the way that we want the help, okay? Be clear. You can't go ask God for help and then turn around and dictate how it's supposed to help, you know. God, I need you to do this. And God's like, okay, no problem. But I need it done on Tuesday. Well, God's like, well, hold on now. I don't even recognize your calendar. What do you mean Tuesday? So, you know, we have to be open to the way that God works, even with things like blocks. So, you know, those are just a few questions that I hear on a regular basis. And I always want to be able to open up the floor because, like I said, this is to help all of us. Don't be shy because I promise you there's not a question that you can think of that hasn't come up with somebody else in a period. So don't hesitate. Please keep going. Press one and let me know what you like to do. One question that I have, that I've researched, I've spent time with, and the question is, what is the difference between spirituality and witchcraft? And I know why this question comes up, okay? This question comes up because both of them are kind of vague to describe in the first place. So it's not a clear cut, one is this, other is that. They both have very vague, wide answers, so I can see how it gets confused. And but I can tell you, and if you would like to, I don't want to say debate me on this, but if you would like to add to my interpretation what I'm trying to tell you, please let me know, because I would love to hear additional information about the differences between spirituality and witchcraft. Okay, so spirituality is the study of spirit. It is definitely the connection between person, man, woman, and God. Spirituality is different from religion because religion is more a set of practices in traditions and rites that compose a religion. So spirituality focuses more on the essence of God, of ancestors, of all of these divine beings, where religion is more focused on the traditions and the rules and the policies and the commandments. You know, there's not a published standard policy book, a Torah, Quran, Bible. There's not one for spirituality because spirituality does not have a set standard of policies and procedures and principles. Although it's very principled, there's not a published book that says this is what it is. There's not a set, you know, there are the 42 laws of Mayat. There's a couple of other standard character and behavior, but those belong to religions. And so a lot of spiritualists will incorporate some religious practices, but that is not a standard across spirituality. So as you can see, and a wonderful approach practices a God-centered spiritual practice. This is where, you know, there are a lot of things that you can be centered. Right now, most humans are money-centered. So they work, so they hustle, so they steal. You know, money is the center of everything that they're trying to do. There are, you know, lots of people will say they have this center or that center, but a wonderful approach is a God-centered, okay? Is not what I would call African-centered. It's not what I would call feminine-centered. It is truly God-centered. That's important somewhere to someone because they'll why didn't you do this? Is that God-centered? You know, will that practice put God in the center of what we're doing? And if the answer to that is no, that's why I didn't do it. So is the world will make you think that it's difficult to live a God-centered life, that it's difficult to wake up and acknowledge God, is too time-consuming. I don't see the fruits of that labor. You know, the world will have you thinking that. That's not true. It's done. It's been done. You know, we have our, and I'm not talking about, you know, on a monk level, you know. I don't live on a mountain. You know, we're not going to live in the caves or not doing that. No. But there are other practices that can evidence, remember we're talking about faith, we're going to show you, that evidence where we are and what our focus is. You will know that we are God-centered. When you get finished with the conversation, with the event, with the whatever, you will understand God-centered, okay? So when it comes to witchcraft, and it's, again, very vague definition, because it's so loosely described and defined. Unfortunately, witchcraft is usually defined by people who don't practice witchcraft. Yeah. Now, I don't practice witchcraft, but I know when you're not allowing the people that actually practice it to define it, to create the parameters, you're not going to get the whole picture. This is just facts. So the loose definition is witchcraft is the practice of magical skills, spells, and abilities. And it usually is heavily influenced by nature. Now, the nature part, I get. Oh, I am all into the nature. I tell people I believe in the birds, the bees, and the trees. You know, I believe that God has set up so many principles for us and just given us those definitions. So, like we said, spirituality doesn't necessarily have a book to follow. And I was in an argument with someone about this book to follow this morning. So spirituality doesn't have this book to follow, but yet what it does have is examples. And those examples are found in nature. And so there's a lot of times and a lot of rites and a lot of rituals that spiritualists practice that are based in and spend a lot of time in nature. So nature is a big part of both spirituality and witchcraft. So, again, you kind of see where people get that confused that spirituality is not a religion, therefore you can have a religion and spirituality. Because I know spiritual Christians, I know spiritual Muslims, I know every religion that there is a spiritual component to it. And there are people that use their religious text, whatever it is, to get closer to God and to get closer to spirit. So, you know, you can be a spiritual whatever system you have set up for yourself. Or you can just be a spiritualist where you focus on the spirit aspect without the religious disciplines. Now, some people need the religious disciplines because everyone knows you go to church on Sunday, Bible study on Wednesday, right? Some people need to be told, hey, come to church on this day. Let there be a day that is holy. Some people don't have to do that. You know, some people will, in their regular practice, will say, hey, let's get together on a day. I mean, it doesn't matter what day it is. You know, let's get together on a day and spend time practicing, and let's spend time learning and discussing religious matters and spiritual matters. So some people need the discipline of the reminder, we're going to get together on Sunday. Some people don't need the discipline. I know certain religions have lots of rules. The Muslims, they be killing the rules, okay? They got rules for days. And for some people, they need that. They need to say, okay, keep yourself clean on this day at this time because we're going to be praying. And I'm talking about physically clean, emotionally clean, spirit, you know, where keep yourself clean. They have days and times and ways and practices to clean yourself. I mean, it's very thorough. You're not going to have any questions after that. And so some people need that. I mean, really need that, where if they did not have those responsibilities and someone kind of reminding them about it, they would get a little lost. So, you know, it just depends on what your personal spirit needs. I know I've met people that practice one religion or culture and then come to find out that another religion or different religion fit them better. Now, I'm not saying that religion is like a nice pair of jeans and it got to fit a certain way. I'm not saying that. But religion does have to suit you or you're not going to listen. You know, I know people, I can say the same thing over and over again. They're not going to listen. But if it's said in their primary language, the language that they know, the language they were born into, they get it. So sometimes when spirit is speaking to me, it'll sound real real Christian-y. Not just regular Christian, Holy Ghost Christian. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. But if that is that person's base language, if that's the way they receive information, well, the spirit's going to get it to you the way that you're going to be able to receive it. And I'm thankful for that. You know, coming from an Islamic background, I am very familiar with all of the rules and technicalities. So speaking to me about rules and technicalities and discipline, and I got that. Now you say, oh, go throw a party. I'm like, throw a party? My goodness. What are you doing? What are you talking about? It all depends on how you were raised, how you were brought up, what you relate to, what you connect with, because all of this is about a connection, okay? So I wanted to add that in, okay? So that's the difference between spirituality, religion, and witchcraft, as far as I can see. So there are people that will call astrology, and I'm like, how did the stars are just twinkling, how did they get to be on the list? But there are some people that will say that that's a science, or that's a no-no or a taboo. You know, there are a number of different systems that give us information, and we can relate it directly into what we're speaking about, what we're going through, but then there will be others that will discount it. So don't worry about the others. Go with what works and what connects with you, okay? Another question I get is, I would like to be close to ancestors. And everybody knows I love some ancestors. I love ancestors, and ancestors are easy. And I mean it. They're easy to do. They're easy to learn. It's easy to spend time with. And I find you get a pretty big buck, a big bang for your buck out of them, okay? Meaning, like, they love you like you love them. You know, they are going to spend time with you. They're going to build you up. They're going to invest in you. Spirits love you. You know, your ancestors love you, you know, because you're their child. Ancestors tend to be more patient. They are way more kind, you know, just easy to get along with. The only thing about ancestors are ancestors can be a little demanding. They can be a little pushy, you know. God wants you to do the right thing because he wants you to grow and evolve and blah, blah, blah. Ancestors want you to do the right thing because they got plans on you. They're like, come on now. We've been waiting for you to come on and do this. So ancestors can be a little picky. So for those that are brand new, and we got some brand new people on the line, shout you out, say hello and all that good stuff. But if you're brand new and you would like to know, you know, who ancestors are considered people directly in your blood lineage that have transitioned already. Ancestors come in different, I don't want to say categories, but you can have ancestors that, I have ancestors that are Native American. And that means some of my spiritual practices and rituals reflect that. I have some ancestors that are from the Gullah Geechee Low Country, you know, out south Kakalaki. Not just South Carolina. I think North Carolina has some lowlands, and Georgia has a little bit as well. So I have ancestors. So there are aspects about that culture that really speak to me. And when I'm around them, I'm like, man, this feels so familiar. I'm really getting this. This is all me. And so knowing your ancestors will help you to understand some of the things that you're going through, some of the things that you are attracted to. You know, it really gives you that information as to who you are. I have an exercise that I do during our retreats, and Wonderful Approach, we do workshops and retreats. Workshops, half a day, retreats, we're there all weekend, working hard. But one of them is not just recognizing your ancestors' names, but also understanding who they were as people. So if you had ancestors that, let's take Solomon's ancestors on his other side, they all went to the military. All went to the military, every single one, no matter if they went in and stayed in or if they went in and did their 4 years and got out. Mm-hmm. Okay. So his ancestors, that's a trait that they had. They believe in service for the country, their country. And, you know, they have personnel. They have military in their family. That goes back to when African Americans were just being allowed to come into the military. So it's a very rich history. My youngest, his ancestry, he has more Native American. He has Native American on his mother and his father's side. So it calls him a lot stronger. And so I'm interested as he gets older to see where that goes, you know, to see if he, you know, stays true to those cultures and rites and religions and everything else like that. So understanding your ancestry gives you that information. You may have had ancestors that were the shoot 'em up kind, okay, the real McCoys. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's not like you can control it. These are your ancestors. So you may have had ancestors that were the real McCoys that like to cut up, get into trouble, create trouble, and all that other stuff. It's good to know that. So if you see the little ones or even yourself attracted to the sharp things. If you see yourself or one of the little ones where they are overly just getting into trouble. So please recognize that that may be beyond their control and find a way to taper that, because they, if it's part of their ancestry, they may not be able to help themselves. Okay? I've met a couple of McCoys. They come out the womb starting stuff. And I'm like, wow. But that's part of their DNA. And their mamas spend all their life trying to get them back on the right path and not even realizing that wasn't even them. It wasn't even them. So it's so important that we pay attention to who our ancestors are and allow that information to guide us. This weekend, I was at a powwow, a Native American religious ceremony, okay? So the second I get there, I had a man come up to me, and he said, hey, I saw him bend down into the grass, into the dirt, and said, hey, I got something for you. And I'm like, okay. And it was a baseball. Now, my uncle was real into baseball and did a lot to document the Negro Baseball League. And I got to meet the original Babe Ruth, who was a black man, and he was missing a finger or something. And so I was like, how in the world did this man play baseball and he was missing a finger? But I got to meet these people. This is part of history. So he throws in his ball. He said, I don't know if you have a son or a grandson that appreciated, but here you go. And he's like, and this was a home run ball, too. And I'm thinking to myself, how do you know that? But I got it. It's going on my ancestor shrine. It is 100% for my uncle. I have every house I've lived in, I have magically found a baseball. And baseball is not even a common sport where you can see that kind of stuff everywhere. So that kind of, whenever I see that, that lets me know you're on the right track. I'm right here with you. You're doing the right thing. So it was wonderful having that little reminder in the middle of a powwow while I'm getting rained on in South Carolina. So, you know, ancestors are always there, always giving you that clue, that thumbs up, that here you go, I'm right here with you. But if I had never learned, well, I knew my uncle, but my son, my youngest son who was with me, he knows the stories of his uncle. And he knows the stories of what my uncle thought was important, which was the baseball league. In reading. So it, for me, it was a way of connecting my youngest child into his ancestors and also having a manifestation right here in this earth realm of something that related to us. And I said, Tyler, do you want to hold it? He said, hold it how? Again, baseball is not a popular sport. So I want to know how many people have walked past it and didn't even see it there, drove over it, hadn't even realized that it was there. But this man, he saw it, and he's like, I'm going to give it to this person here. So it's those kind of little things that let you know that spirit and ancestors are close to you. So, you know, there's lots of ways to connect with them. So I'm going to go over some more in just a second, but I have a caller that would like to speak, and I'm not going to keep her waiting. I'd like for her to say hello. Let's see. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Peace. Alafia. How are you, Mama Seven?
Alafia, dear. How are you?
I'm good. This is Sister Unique Wisdom. Peace.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. All right.
I'm trying not to scream too loud when my neighbors hear me. But,
okay. Drop that wisdom on us, because I already know what I want to ask you, but what did you call to share, my dear, before I ask you?
Okay, so I'm going to start from where you're at, and I'm going to go back, because there are a couple of things that you said that resonate with me a lot, and from my experience,
Amen.
I would just like to share some things. So, in my family, I grew up with being exposed to multiple forms of different religions. I had a grandfather that was a Catholic. I had one that was a Jew, a practicing Orthodox Jew. I had Christians. I have holiness. I had Muslims in my family. So it was really interesting growing up because depending on the day of the week or who what I was going to or who I was with, spending the weekend with, we was either going to the synagogue or we was going to the mosque or I was going to church or I was going to mass. In all of those things, a lot of times when you have structural religion, a lot of things are hidden. But at the same time, a lot of things are hidden under the structure, but there still has to be a foundation. And a lot
right.
of the foundation I found still stands on ancestor reverence. However,
yes.
when you incorporate religion, which is man-made, I think, and I could be wrong, and I stand corrected, but I think there are all over this world, there are many cultures and societies that still deal with ancestor reverence, but here in the Americanas, we don't observe that, and we don't understand why we are so lost, we are so disconnected,
yes.
we are so out of sync with who we really and truly are because we're not connecting with our ancestors. So in order to do that, when you have religion, which is really supposed to be your way to relate, your link to your ancestors. So I know that my link to my ancestors, there are times when I'm in front of my altar, they want to hear gospel music, we listen to gospel music. I have ancestors that are from Jamaica and Trinidad. We break it down and we're listening to some gospel music that's in Patois. You know what I'm saying? I have Native American ancestors. I know I have may have some. The music comes, I play it. When I feel it, that's why when we say I give thanks and pay homage to those that are known and unknown. Because when
right.
you start dealing with that, that brings you closer to your spirituality. Because remember, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. Our spiritual self, that's a part of God, we know that part because that's where we came from as far as our spirit is concerned. But this human
right.
experience that we have is to walk amongst each other, to have the choice because, like I've said before, as a human being on this planet, we have been given choice. We have a choice of whether or not what we will do and what we don't do. God has given us the opportunity of free will. And if anybody
yep.
has ever spoken to me, I always tell them, you have free will to do whatever you want to do. But there's a part of you and there's a part of everybody that hears my voice that knows there's that one thing that's inside of you, and we call it something told me. That's
uh-huh.
what we call it. Something
yep.
told me not to do that. Something told me to go there. Something told you you're not going to find in your Quran. You're not going to find in your Torah. You're not going to find in your Bible. Because that something told you is inside of you, which is your spirit, which is God. So unless you use these religions and use them to help you relate, to guide you to your ancestors that's going, and that spirit that's going to bring you forward and say, oh, well, this is because all religions to me, and this is my opinion, religions
uh-huh.
are like the fingers on your hand. They're like the fingers on your hand, but they don't make up the arm. They're not the arm. The arm is just
right.
doesn't make the body. It's a part of it. So you use that religion to grab things, but then you feed into your spirit. You use it to feed into yourself. You use it to grab. When you touch things, you bring things. You put that imprint. So you use your studies to bring you closer to where you want. That's what I appreciate about being a spiritualist. That's what I appreciate about A Wonderful Approach. Because in my journey with A Wonderful Approach, the the meditations, the guided meditations, the retreats, one thing it has always showed me is how to get my human self intact to align myself with my spiritual. So that's why you say you got to get in line with the divine. You know, when you start aligning it, when you align your chakras, for those that understand chakras, when you align your spirit, because there's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Mother, Father, Spirit.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's always that sense of spirit there, but we are taught not to think about that. We're taught it is culturally taught. I mean, it is like I'm not just going to attack your mind, but I'm going to attack your spirit, because if I attack your spirit, I have control over your body. You know, so when people get back to the point where you realize all this vibration energy, God is energy, you know, and when you start replacing other forms of energy, which energy can't be destroyed, it can only be transformed and transferred. So when you start dealing with spirituality and witchcraft, when people start talking about witchcraft, it's just a transformation of energy. There are some people who are priests. There are some people who are not. Everybody can't do the work that I do. Everybody can't manipulate the forces. Everybody can't use herbs. Everybody can't put their hand into the soil and make things grow. You ever hear those people that say they got growing hands? They can put their hands in your hair and they can make your hair grow. I don't know what that is. However, there's something in that.
I know what
there's
happens.
Something in that, but I know what happens. So there's something in that touch. There's something that's in that we have to use. We have to become conscious of. However, you have free will. You have the will to get caught up and allow somebody else to tell you what your destiny is. You have the free will to sit down there and let somebody else tell you what your life is going to be like. And I guarantee you, you're going to have to do it over and over and over again. The next time you come back, you might not come back in the form of a male or a female. You might come back in the form of a cat. You know what I'm saying? Or a dog, you know, because there's the lessons that need to be learned. I tell people all the time, deep down inside, I know there's an older white man that likes to drink Budweiser. He's in there. You know what I'm saying? He loves himself black men back to the, you know what I'm saying? And this time I was born a wide hip black woman. And I was like, well, here we go. You know what I'm saying?
Love it. Love it.
You know.
Okay, so, now look.
While
I got you, I got to keep you for half a second because me and you keep talking about this, and we keep forgetting to say it on the air. There is an energy that is coming through here, okay? And this energy is asking everyone to kind of get right, you know, do what you're supposed to do. Wrap up anything you need to wrap up. I'm going to tell you to have all your stuff wrapped up by the 1st of November. I'm going to say that. Because the energy, you know, what the universe has spoken to me is where we are the 1st of November, where are we going to be for about 2 years.
For about the next
like
2 years.
Like, comfortable.
Right.
Now, this is my system. This is a spirit came and spoke to me and said this. It's so funny, me and my sister Unique, we're talking, we're building. She says the same thing. Different system now. Different system. All right, now tell me about your system, okay?
My
this
system
is one system.
Mm-hmm.
I always have to call her. I have to call her. I don't know. Okay. All right, explain to me what they're doing up there.
So I'm a strong believer, and stars and suns and planets have been around. If you look, if you study, all cultures have used above and below. You know, they've planted crops and they've had children. You know what I'm saying? Things are based on how what's in the sky, what's going on. I mean, come on. The Magi followed the North Star to get to Jesus. The story goes, right? That was astrology. So you can't say it's demon. I mean, you can, you know. However, to each his own. So the way things are going on right now, we know that we're in our Mercury retrograde time. And like I've said before, retrograde is when it appears as if your planet is moving backwards because it's moving so slow. And the good thing is that this retrograde, even though it's going to be a little rough, it's time. It's a lot of things that have come up from your past is going to come back, and you're going to have to take those tests. So you ever had a test, and it's like, okay, you need an 85 to pass, but you got an 80. So instead of you having to take the whole test over, I need you to study the questions that you missed, and I'm going to test you on that. That's what's coming back around. So it's up to you of whether or not you're going to do the work so you can move on. If not, you're going to be held back. And it's when I say held back, you're going to repeat this cycle because that's what this cycle is about. What's going on? I mean, you have planets that have been retrograde, that have never, that, not saying never, that hadn't been in alignment or squared each other for hundreds of years, but they just so happened to square up in 2020. You know, we had two full moons this month. Two.
Yeah.
Two
yeah.
full moons. And one of them falls on the last day of the month, which is All Hallows Eve, which is a super moon, which is in Mercury retrograde. So there's a lot of intense energy. What each of us as individuals are responsible for is that we're responsible for doing our work. I had some shadow work I had to do today. And I'm talking about I'm moving around, and I said, let me go jump in the shower. And sure enough, Spirit was like, now you know you shouldn't have said that, and you know you should have been doing. I was like, wait a minute, disrespectful, I'm in the shower. You know, however, I guess that's when you got to catch me in it, you know, because I ain't going to listen to mom's time, you know, but as soon as I got you know, but as soon as I got out, I didn't wait or think about it. I picked up the phone. I made my phone call. I said what I had to say to that person, you know, because that's an energy I don't want to read. I recognized that it was something from my past that I was bringing into my present, and how was I going to respond to it this time? With the tools that I have and the growth that I've made and the things that I want, we need to realize that you have to do the work. We're adults. Stop playing children's games. If you want to be,
don't want to be
like a child, stop acting like a child. This is about grown folks' business, and spirituality is grown folks' business. The line between the heavens and the earth is thin. You can literally reach up and lock hands with angels. And the power that you need if you manifest it, Ashe.
Yep, Ashe. Okay, I'm so glad she told us about this astrology thing. Amen. Every time I see and feel something, I'm like, you need, what are they doing? So, I appreciate it.
I love everybody.
Oh, peace. How wonderful. Look, let me tell you, family, don't get comfortable yet. Let's get our work in first, okay? The 1st of November. I got told today, ain't no Santa Claus. Oh, broke my heart. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, the jolly fat man that comes down the chimney, but just that one of my thoughts and dreams may not be true. And I was like, I reject that. I rebuke you. No, but I rejected it immediately. I said, you can't tell me my Santa Claus ain't real because somebody keeps eating these cookies and milk, you know. And so, but what it was really is understanding that I really do believe in miracles like that. And I had to stop and think about what made me so sure that what I was thinking and feeling was right. It was because, and so the person I was talking to kind of laughed at me, like, oh, you really do believe in miracles. I'm like, yeah, I guess I really do, you know. If you think that is what a miracle is, then yeah, I believe in miracles. And so what I always want to know, what I always believe, what I know for a fact, I believe in miracles. I believe in positive things happening for my benefit out of the blue. No reason, can't even make good sense of it. You know, you look at something and be like, I don't even know how that happened. I don't even think too hard about it. I'd be like, oh, I'm glad that it did, amen, and keep it moving, you know, because I believe in miracles. I really do. You don't have to. I don't need scientific proof on my stuff because I've seen it happen. I've seen the manifestations. I've seen just all of these positive things happening without logic. So I believe in miracles, you know. So, and I got reminded of that just today. How Wednesdays start off, that is the thought for the week for me, you know. And so now I'm on miracle watch, okay? I'm looking for that miracle. I'm looking for that positive thing to come forward and to say, hey, look, I'm right here because you believed in me, because you had faith, because you acted on it, okay? So fasting ain't just knowing you got the fast. It's turning down the food. So when you believe in that miracle, it's not just a matter of knowing in your brain. You also have to act and walk and talk as if you were walking and talking in that miracle. Okay? Walk in the miracle. So I'm into visualizations. I'm into the laws of attractions. I'm into all of that. So as people thought they were, you know, trying to bust my bubble, I was like, I do have a strong bubble, don't I? You know, I'm the queen of the silver lining. I'm always going to see the positive. So I sat down and popped my collar on my nice, strong bubble, and I said, no, I'm going to manifest what I want. So, yeah, I believe in Santa Claus. I believe in those things that most people think are childish or out of the ordinary or just impossible. I believe in that. Because I know that God can make that happen. So I don't doubt it, not for one second. All right, I got another caller that would like to speak. Love it, love it, love it. And, you know, we're rapping. We're sharing what I always wanted to know. We're asking questions. We're giving answers. It's that kind of night. So I just want to keep that open and as we go through the phone lines, okay? Greetings, welcome to the show. If I can get it. All right. Greetings.
Okay. Can you hear me? It's Melissa.
I can hear you. Greetings, Sister Melissa. How you doing?
I am good. Okay, so I got one of those Melissa questions for you. How do you separate Mama Khadijah, Mama Seven from Khadijah? Like, I know you can't do all of one because all of one can be too much to handle, so you need a break. And then, you know, you got to, you know, I know you're one and the same, but, you know, sometimes you got to let your hair down and be Khadijah, and sometimes you got to bind your hair up and be Mama Seven. So how do you separate that, keep that balance so that one doesn't overtake the other, but yet you're always in some kind of a harmony? And if you do get out of balance, you know, what do you do to rebalance yourself so that the love and attention that both sides of you need is getting what they need?
That is a super duper question. One that I only allow certain people to ask me. Because I was like, what are you talking about? So what? Khadijah loves working 24 hours a day. What are you talking about? So I'm so glad you asked that because, like, there are people that live almost double lives because they have, okay, this situation here, that situation there. And so you asked about me. How do I keep balance? And there's something that I started. I started this 2 weeks ago because it's 10:14. I decided for the first 2 hours of the day I was going to do something Khadijah wanted, the person. So Khadijah has been doing home improvements. I've been stitching. I've been cleaning my room. I've been reading this book. And I've been in such a good mood. 2 hours, the first 2 hours of the day belong to me. I've had to wake up early. Like, I've been up at 5 o'clock every morning. But I'm like, I am worth it. And so that's something that I do. I will find ways to put me first and to do the types of things that I want to do. And the thing, and I'm talking about reading books. Now, I've tried to give myself an hour before bed, but that's, to me, I don't want to say a sloppy hour, but sometimes I'd be tired. So sometimes the thing I want is sleep. But when you decide that you are worth the cream of your crop, the beginning of your day, I think that's saying a whole lot about who you are and what you do. And so what I'm doing between Khadija, in between 7, we are respectfully coexisting with each other. So 7 has to respect the fact that I need sleep. Yes, she would like me to do and be a white bath factory. She wants me to push a little harder, say one more prayer, get one more crunch in, do this. 7 is a workhorse. She likes the work, okay? But she is considerate of the vessel of Khadija. And so the vessel, okay, no, this vessel needs to eat. Let's stop what we're doing and eat. No, this vessel is human, so this vessel needs to rest. And so there's times where we have to be considerate of each other so that balance is maintained, you know, because 7 would like to work 20 hours a day, but Khadija, the human, cannot. So that's what we do. And we're always considerate that, like, Khadija can't go out to the strip club, because that's in conflict with 7. You know, neither one does anything that's in conflict with each other. So, you know, 7 is a spiritual leader, not just a spiritualist, but a spiritual leader. So Khadija can't be over here getting buck wild knowing that tomorrow morning we got to turn around and be a leader. So there's always that consideration and to make sure there's no conflict, you know. And so just understanding and the respect, you know, and I think that's something that self-care brings. When you have more self-care, you can be respectful of both aspects. When you have self-love, you can be respectful of both outlets. So those types of things have to be put in place. You know, when you're going through your gratitude list, it's like, what is 7 grateful for? And then how does Khadija appreciate that? So, you know, self-love, self-care are key to making sure that both parties are, and self-respect, I'm going to say, I have to add the respect part. So self-care, self-love, and self-respect make sure that the balance is there. The balance is maintained and respected. Mm-hmm.
Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good question. You know, I've gotten those questions before, like, well, how did you learn this and how did you do this? So I'm probably more serious than the average person my age, whatever. But, you know, it's all very achievable. And I think that's part of why God requests the transparency in my life. You know, I'm supposed to be transparent, even when it's uncomfortable, even when most people would kind of hide and tuck not to expose their own shortcomings. But there's still so much to be learned in those shortcomings that is supposed to be done in a very outward way so that everyone can learn and benefit as I'm learning and benefiting. So, you know, it's very helpful. I find it helpful. You know,
well, I'm glad you got that, because I love the leader, I love the lady, and I'm glad to be a part of a wonderful coach.
Amen. Thank you so much. I can't wait to see you soon. All right. And I love those Melissa questions, because, you know, they help us to understand more. I'm telling you, I appreciate them. I appreciate them, because I think that question is going to hopefully get people to think, well, what can I do to balance my spiritual self? Because I'm telling you, work is not an excuse not to take care of your spirit. You know, kids are not an excuse not take care of your spirit. Your spirit deserves to be taken care of. You know, the spirit is the part that's going to continue. So trust me, every time I look at that paycheck, it gets smaller and smaller. More and more taxes coming out. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So work can't be my defining moment. It can't be. The thing that defines me is the spirit and the action. And I have to make sure that I'm leaving enough time for both. So very, very important question. And I hope everybody takes a moment to think, what am I doing for my spirit? Does my spirit get 2 hours the first 2 hours of the day? Does my spirit get that? Do I make those sacrifices that lets my spirit know I'm thinking about you, you're important to me? What kind of sacrifices can you make for spirit? What about getting to the gym? Getting to the gym is a major sacrifice. And your spirit benefits every time your temple is strengthened. Oh, 100%. 100% your spirit benefits. So, you know, these are the types of things that we may not have thought of in a spiritual manner, but they 100% help us in our improvement. I got one more caller that I'm going to take this evening, just as we're learning, you know, things we always wanted to know, things you always wanted to know. And like Melissa let us know, you can even ask it about me, myself personally, you know, because I truly believe that we're all here to learn from each other. And the more we learn, the better we do. So don't hesitate in asking questions. This is how we're going to get it. I'm going to grab the caller real quick. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Greetings.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you?
Oh, great, great. Wonderful, wonderful. You have a speaker. Okay. Hi, my name is, well, I go by Jeannie, and I have a couple of relatives on the phone with me.
Awesome.
And I just wanted to kind of chime in. Yes, yes, yes. I just wanted to kind of chime in because I'm sitting here and I'm thinking and I'm listening and I'm enjoying everything. And
awesome.
My question is I consider this year of the double, 2020, okay?
Uh-huh,
and you probably explained this before because I recently just started listening in, okay?
Uh-huh.
And my cousin is Makita as well, okay, as a matter of fact.
Oh, cool.
However, I wanted to ask, how would you explain this? Because this happens to me all the time, and I don't think about it. I don't focus on it. But it's just like sometimes when I'm doing something and all of a sudden, you know, it would be like, let me see what time it is. And it's like 10:10, 11:11, 12:12, 3:33, 4:44. And I don't be thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what is going on?
You know, the number I see all
okay,
the time,
please.
The number I see all the time is 1, 2, 3. Always.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
And every time I see it, I'm like, 1, 2, 3, what is that? You know, and so I get it how it can be startling, like, how did that happen? Especially if you see a one, you know, time after time. So
mm-hmm.
absolutely. And so they say whenever you see numbers like that, that God and spirit is trying to get your attention. They're trying to get
mm-hmm.
you to focus on things. Now, each number has different meanings, like fours are about foundations. You know, twos are about partnerships and relationships with people.
Mm-hmm.
Ones, of course, is about self and getting closer to God. And so there are the numbers themselves have meaning. But when you see them doubled up all the time like that, they're trying to get your attention. So the fact that you
mm-hmm.
listen to the program, okay, number one, the fact that you related to our dear sister Makita, that means something to me.
Yes.
Okay, I'm family and kids. I don't play around, okay? I love you.
Yes.
And so,
yes.
You know, that is that's family for me. All that family. I love them. And then
yes.
Also, though, it's time to make certain steps. I know, like, our life cycles, they come in years of
7. So each, when you're 7, there's certain things you learn. When you're 14, that whole puberty thing, that creates a new understanding. 21, you're moving into manhood and womanhood. You know, 28, you're focused on family and building family and starting family. And so each life cycle has something new to teach you and a new place for you to put your focus. And so as we're going through this life and understanding how old we are makes a difference. The numbers that are around us, even our house numbers, like my house numbers, I look and I'm like, nope, I don't like the way those numbers added up. You know, and people might say, that is crazy. I'm like, no, it means something to me. I'm looking for a sign. So certain numbers, when I see them, like I travel a lot. And so certain hotel rooms, I'm like, nope, I'm not staying there. Change the room. And they're like, change the room? I'm like, yeah, change the room number. And so, the numbers are important. And they're speaking to you. So as you go through, you know, continue to pay attention as to when you're seeing these numbers. Are they when you're feeling anxious? Do you see the numbers more when you're trying to make a big decision and then you'll look up and then you'll notice the numbers? And so pay attention as to when these numbers are popping up and, like, what's going on around you at that very moment. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, makes sense.
And then, and then also, you know, you have, Makita is such a wealth of knowledge that you have right there with you. It's important that we all take advantage of those direct and indirect teachers that we have sitting right around us, right under us. So, you know, don't hesitate to spend that time, you know, learning about this and about that so that when we have events that come up, we're like, hey, let's get together and have, you know, prayer circle. Let's make this happen. Let's make that happen. Because there are people that need that don't have the benefit of family and friends so close. And so that's why we have, like, the radio program and such so that we can reach out to a mass of people. But you have the privilege of being related to one. So, you know, bring as much as you can and get that information so that you can have that and you can really feel comfortable and confident about your studies, okay?
Yes, yes, most definitely.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome. So hopefully next time I come by your way, because I just left a couple days ago. So next time I come by, I hope to be able to see you and chat it up and find out just what you have learned recently. I love that learning process. It's a beautiful thing.
I do too.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I think you're a first-time caller, too. So,
yeah, I called a couple of weeks ago, but this is when I actually, the first time I chimed in, yes.
Oh, yes. Awesome. Perfect. Perfect. So we'll speak more very soon, okay?
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Awesome. Oh, wow. You know, I'm always questioning, okay, how do we do this? Spirit, guide us on this. You know, show us the things that we need to see, we need to learn, we need to hear. And so I love when Spirit gives us those answers so quickly and strong. So as I was getting ready for this program, I was like, "What? How do I do this program, Spirit? What do I need to leave the people with?" And Spirit's like, leave it open. Just leave it open. Allow yourself to, you know, just answer questions. Allow yourself just to be. And I was like, okay, I can do that. And I'm so glad that I did, because I got an opportunity to be a little personal, you know, not like I usually am not, but I was able to be a little more personal and also share some information. So it was a great, great show for me. I loved it. Thank you to all my callers that called in. But we're not leaving too far from the program, because we got to make prayer. Every night around this time, right before we head out, we always offer prayer. Reason why is because prayer is one of the most important, sacred things that we can do.
adding prayer as God into this formula. And when you add God into your formula, then things become blessed events. You know, we are here, we are truly, truly servants of the Most High. And we are here to serve as he would insist and do things in a positive manner. And, of course, all things that are positive begin and end with him. So we're going to have prayer. And this is, like I said, I love this portion because it's never the same. We've had people come offer prayer in song. We've had prayers offered in different languages. We've had prayers of different meanings, modalities, all of that. And so I'm ever so, you know, grateful that we're able to bring something so necessary to people, and so that it may hopefully carry them through until the next time they make prayer. For a Wonderful Approach Angels, that should be tomorrow, just a couple of hours. But for those, you know, that have not quite gotten there, that don't have a habit of prayer, you know, I really hope that one of these prayers will inspire you to do more. You know, I hope the prayer will make you think about positive memories of, you know, grandparents, of church, you know, positive memories of who you were when you felt better, who you were when you were operating better, who you could be. You know, God is always, you know, not necessarily going in the past for me, but always showing me possibilities of the future. And of that, I'm ever so grateful. So I want to start prayer. Father, Mother God, we come to you humbly, offering prayer, knowing that it is you that has made the decision that prayer will be approved. We come with open, clear hearts, open, clear minds. We come with the thanksgiving on our breath, ever so thankful for all the possibilities and the promises that you've made. I am ever so thankful knowing that you've never left me. You've always held me close. You've always guided me on the way that I should be, which allows me to be comfortable and confident in you and your abilities. God, I pray that everything that has happened today, starting at the wee hours of the morning, all the way until the day becomes the next day, have been pleasing to you. I hope that everyone at A Wonderful Approach was able to maintain precise language. I pray that we all are working on growing and maintaining good character. I pray that we all are keeping our eyes focused on you and away from negative thoughts, away from revenge, away from ego, away from self-doubt, away from things that are unbecoming. God, please continue to order our steps so that we can build, order our steps so that we are in your safe footing, order our steps so that we stay under the umbrella and in the shelter of your heart. Allow us not to incur your wrath. Please allow all of our mistakes to be truly mistakes and forgive us for our trespasses. God, please let us see with our eyes and know you, so that we can begin to build from there. God, please help help with healing. There's some healing that is definitely needing, some physical healing and some emotional healing. God, please allow the hearts here that are strained to feel you. Allow these hearts that are strained to know that love is for them, that love is for everyone, and that we just have to follow the steps and instructions that you have for us. God, please allow everyone that is in need be full and cup runneth over with you, and allow our focus to be on you so that we can know what is right, what is good, what is righteous. I ask these things in your name. Amen.